Hello, everyone. Welcome to Our Lives with Shannon Fisher. This is your host, Shannon Fisher, and it is November 12th, and we are doing a live show tonight, and my guest, I'm really excited to have her. It's a little bit of a step from the norm. You know, normally when I interview authors on the show, I do nonfiction books pretty much exclusively, but this book covers a topic that was so poignant that when this author's agent spoke to me about the book, I thought, I'm going to stray from the norm and I'm going to do fiction. Her name is Karen Fortunati, and her debut novel is The Weight of Zero, and it addresses the emotional journey of bipolar disorder in teens, and it's such an intense character study to really immerse you into seeing what it's like to be a teen with a mental illness and all of the struggles. So without further ado, I would like to introduce Karen Fortunati. Karen, welcome.
Hi, Shannon. It's so great to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad to have you. Your book, The Weight of Zero, was, as I said in the intro, I mean, I pretty much exclusively do nonfiction, but this so deeply explores the topic of mental illness and the stigma and everything that surrounds it, that it's just as much an informative nonfiction book as it is a fiction book. So what was your inspiration for writing this?
So just a little background on my writing career. I started out writing fiction and writing for kids. And my first book focused on, it was a middle grade fantasy that I worked on for about 4 years. Now, I don't have a writing background. I don't have an MFA. I had been an English major in college and then switched to accounting. Then I went to law school. And so writing came a lot later in life for me. I was probably around 45, 46 when I first started trying my hand at it. So I worked for about 4 years on this middle grade story and couldn't get any kind of interest going, agent interest, because if you want to traditionally publish, you need, you know, 99% of the time you need an agent.
Sure.
So I was sort of at a, you know, wondering what I was going to do in terms of writing and story inspiration when I got, I was at a writing retreat in New Jersey, and we were asked to submit the first page of another piece that we were working on, and I didn't have anything. And I had been kind of playing around with this idea of writing for an older audience, young adult, which is generally, you know, 13 and 14 up to 21, 22, 23. And this character just popped into my head, the main character of my book in The Weight of Zero, Catherine, 17-year-old girl, who was struggling with a suicide plan. And so I wrote the first page at this retreat, and it just flowed. It just came out, writing that probably, I never really had like such ease in writing a first page like that. And it's not tremendously different, the published version, than what I first wrote probably three or 4 years ago. So
that's fantastic.
But the inspiration, it's a couple things. It's personal experiences with family and friends who've struggled with different mental health issues. My life has been touched by suicide. Not anyone very close to me, but people close. That's made an impact. And then my husband is also in the mental health field. He's a psychiatrist who's focused mainly on child and adolescent psychiatry. So through him, I knew about treatment and I knew that it could work. And, you know, I knew the things that should be in place in order to have success.
That's a really interesting perspective to have, to have been personally touched by suicide, which is, you know, devastating, obviously, in the lives of anyone close to the victim, but also to have the perspective of success from seeing treatment, because a lot of people, you know, they have loved ones and they see the behavior of their loved ones, but they don't see the other side and what happens private therapy sessions. That's really, really interesting. And so you talk in the book a lot about specific treatments and, you know, medicines that she's taking and things that she does in therapy sessions that Catherine does to learn how to manage her disease. So did you talk to your husband specifically about treatment plans for bipolar teens?
Absolutely. Yeah, he was critical. My goal was to make it as authentic and genuine. I'm sorry if you hear my dogs in the background. as authentic as possible. I had my daughter at the time; she was 17, so she was reading it for from a teen's perspective. But for all the treatment, diagnosis, symptoms, because I don't only talk about bipolar disorder, the main character is in a group therapy program, and the kids in that program have other serious mental health issues. So, I wanted to be on with the descriptions and symptoms with that, with those portrayals. So basically, when I first told my husband about Catherine, I said, this is my idea for this character, just tell me if it's within the bounds of, I don't want you necessarily what you typically encounter. I just want to know if this is something that would be something you could see. I'm not just making something up. So he was great with that. And then also for all the medicine, he was instrumental with that and advising me dosage and, when you would take this and what the side effects might be and why you might not want to be on it, why you would want to be on it. And then for the therapy sessions, I would write them, and then he would read it and say, no, I'd never sit behind a desk. I always sit right next to my patient, tells me what the room, how the room is arranged, what it looks like, how he what his style is when he's in a session. So, of that was, really, really finely, fine-tuned to make sure that it was accurate, in terms of, his particular style.
That's great. And so it lends full authenticity to any young adult who might be reading the book, who might be suffering from bipolar disorder or another mental illness. Like you said, in the group therapy, there are several different issues going around the group that these children have. And so so it's really something that's, that they can read it, and if they are in treatment, they can probably identify, which I think is great. The title, The Weight of Zero, the zero, you say it even within the first couple of pages of the book, is the depth of despair and depression that Catherine experiences when she felt suicidal. So tell me a little bit about the zero and about how you were able to because you wrote the emotions so well. Tell me how you put yourself empathetically into her space.
That wasn't the original name of the book. The book had a different title, but my editor and I went back and forth for about 2 minutes before we came up with The Weight of Zero, because it just felt right. But I don't have bipolar disorder, and I was, the book came very easily, writing the story, but I was also really anxious about it because I just felt this huge responsibility to make sure that I was telling the story with respect, and that it was, that it would resonate and ring true to people who might have bipolar disorder or a different mental health issue. So I felt, I felt a lot of anxiety in that regard in writing the story. It just came to me that, when Catherine showed up in my head, I just knew that she viewed Zero as an enemy and something to fight against, and she was just so afraid of her depression's return. And so the name Zero, you know, her label for, you know, this dark, just hopeless state of mind, came from the numerical scale system Catherine and her mom would have. So Catherine's mom would say, you know, what's your mood or what's your number? You know, 10 would be super happy and 0 would be, you know, the depths of despair. And so that's, you know, that's how Catherine, you know, began labeling this depression. And, you know, as an author, when you're writing, a lot of the experiences weren't my own, but the emotions that are attached to the experiences are universal and we all share, like fear and despair and anxiety and rejection, along with all the joyous and happy emotions, on the whole spectrum. So, you know, what I did was I just used my own emotions and inserted it into like a scenario that maybe I didn't personally experience, but I still relied on those, you know, the core emotions that, you know, that we all share.
Sure, sure. We've all experienced despair at some point in our lives for one reason or another. And you can really, there are so many characters with so many different facets to their personality and their backgrounds, and you really took care. This was one thing I loved about the book, is that you took care to give them their own identity as not just, you know, this is the disorder that I'm talking about, that this is your diagnosis, but I mean they had normal feelings as teenagers, because teenagers,
yeah,
a rough time anyway, dealing with everything in life, you know, the hormones and the social and the stigma that comes along with it. You really handled that, talking about how different people, you know, fear different social circumstances. And so
yeah,
you had a teen daughter at that time. So how did when your daughter read it, how did she respond as far as the things that are, you know, that are universal teen experiences?
You know, she was great. She's a really harsh critic, and she was really I was really worried about her reading it, and worried that she was just going to really slash it apart. But she gave me a lot of great feedback in terms of like school dynamics and things like that, because you know, while when I was writing the book, the reader that I had in mind was somebody who was struggling. It was also for someone who might not have as serious issues, but could relate to the normal stresses and pressures that high school entails. So, and then I also wanted to hopefully give them a little bit more empathy for what people struggling with mental health issues go through, because it's not just, you know, you have this whole added layer of prejudice and sometimes ridicule, you know, as a side effect from, like, or not a side effect, as a great result of writing the story. You know, I've become very, very conscious of how I speak and the terms that I use, and just like regular, you know, run-of-the-mill words you might not think twice about, you know, I'm very conscious, because I don't want to offend someone. And, you know, things,
sure,
there are phrases like, oh, you know, she's bipolar, you know, when you're referring to somebody who might, you know, be moody or something, or he didn't take his meds, or, you know, like kind of jokes or, you know, off-the-cuff kind of things that you say that are actually, like, really powerful and can be really painful. So,
right,
you know, I just, it's made me a lot more conscious, and it's also made me want to advocate more for education. This past year, because the book came out in October of 2016, in the months before its release and after, I've been able to go to a lot of different speak to a lot of different audiences, but most of them were teens, libraries,
mm-hmm,
writers, teen writers, high schools. My husband and I have spoken to parent groups, about teen mental health. And I, oftentimes when I would talk about the standard struggles of high school and how it's very common that you're going to enter high school with one set of friends and you're going to graduate with, you know, a totally different set. You know, that a lot of time that's not spoken about, or and you know, there's a lot of friend drama in high school, as we've all experienced. And
definitely, yeah.
You know, I'd see head nods, and there'd be one or two kids who'd come up to me after these talks, but you know, it'd be more common to get an email. Oh, I saw you speak, and I want to tell you that I was dealing with my own zero, and I lost my friends, but you know, I'm in a better place now, and I've got new friends. And so I just the best part about writing the story for me has been being able to talk to people about this. And I'm really happy to see that more and more people are speaking more and more openly about mental health issues, their own family members, like personally and even in social media. I've seen a lot of people just being very, very honest about it. And I think that's
absolutely,
that's the first step in removing the stigma.
Most definitely. The statistic is one in five teens aged 13 to 18 suffers from or will suffer from a mental illness. And so that's 20% of the teens out there. And that's, I mean, that's, you know, if you're in a classroom of 30 kids, there are going to be children in there who are suffering from a mental illness. And so I think that kind of kindness and that kind of awareness really is something that we as a society, I mean, we could use that education, because people don't realize it. And especially kids can be really mean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And the other thing is I compare my own, like, high school experience to what my kids have gone through. And my kids have had relatively calm, positive experiences, but it's pressure-packed from having a resume at age, you know, 16 and trying to figure out what your major is when you're 17, and social media, which can be a blessing and a curse. And, there's just a ton of pressure on them that I feel like I didn't have a taste of when I was in high school. So, you know, and it's funny because, I think this book kind of blew out of me, because at the time my own kids were in high school, and you know, I was worried because they're growing up and they're sharing less and less with me and my husband, and you know, I was worried. You know, what if they were going through something and they just couldn't tell me or didn't want to share it? And so there's the mother of Catherine, that character is very, very, you know, one of the easiest characters I wrote, because she's so close to me in terms of, you know, anxiety and worrying about and hovering. And that's not too far from me. I've had a lot of parents who've read this book say, oh, my gosh, you know, I'm that woman. You know, that is me. And I've had, you know, readers, teen readers, young adults, I'm giving this to my mother so she understands, and vice versa. I've spoken at book clubs, you know, in one book club, the group had been together for over 10 years, and one woman was in tears and saying, you know, to the other women in her group, you don't know this about me, but that was my life. Because her son had gone through some issues, and it's really, you know, it resonates with different readers for different reasons. But the quote at the beginning of the book is a quote from Otto Frank, Anne Frank's father, and the quote is, "Most parents don't really know their children," and my son had pointed that out to me when we were at the Anne Frank house, right after I had finished writing the story. And it really struck me that, first, that my son was telling me that, you know, I I was like, why is he telling me this?
Right. What don't I know, honey?
What are you trying to tell me here? But then it just, it's so perfectly nailed what, you know, Catherine, you know, how much Catherine was hiding from her mom and how the mother, you know, got a sense that there was a lot going on that, that Catherine wasn't being honest about. But the story for me, ultimately, you know, I wanted it. I always knew how Catherine's story was going to end. I knew it was going to be a good ending and a story of hope and resilience. And because some of the parts of the book were really dark and you know, hard to write. But that kind of buoyed me, kept me going, because I knew that, you know, there was going to be a shift in the way she saw herself and her mental illness.
Well, sure, it was authentic. I mean, you're not writing platitudes here. I mean, you're writing, you know, the actual emotions, and you talked about the dynamic between Catherine and her mother. I found it so interesting because their perspectives, mental illness aside, were completely different. And the mother was concerned and loved and wanting to understand and just wanted to make it better and make sure she was doing all that she could. And then Catherine was having guilt, feeling like she was a burden on her mother when her mother didn't feel that way at all. And so it was, you know, so she added, in addition to the stigma and the stress of the teen years, she then felt like she was a burden on her loved ones. And she was, you know, considering suicide. And I read that suicide is the second leading cause of death for 15 to 24-year-olds, and I had no idea.
Yeah, it's really, really, really scary.
Yeah, it really is.
It's terrifying, yeah. I've been in touch with a couple of teen suicide foundations, and unfortunately, most of them arise from, you know, a suicide of a loved one. And we're just trying to, their mission is to educate and just get it out there, make it part of, you know, common, you know, not something that's hidden away anymore. And there's a big push now on college campuses, a little bit less so in high school, but I'm really hoping it's going to trickle down. And there's one in Connecticut where I live that I hope to start doing some work of what's called the Jordan Porco Foundation. And they do a lot of education and outreach. I think they have programs like in 35 states across the country. And they have high school programs, which I absolutely love. So I'm really excited about that. But, you know, the book has been I thought getting published would be the highlight, you know, for me, but it's really this, the real stuff that's coming out of it now, connecting with readers, talking to them, and actually, like, starting to do some getting hooked up with different organizations and reaching out that way and continuing the story's kind of mission for me. It's just wonderful.
Well, sure, and I would imagine anyone, a teen who's reading it, they can tell from reading it and from your words and the research that you've done that you do get it, you understand, you know, and I would imagine they would be willing to open up because they would be like, this woman gets it, Karen gets it, I can talk to her. Now, you know, kids who might be listening or parents who are listening of children who they think might be suffering from mental illness, what should they do? Because I think a lot of people who haven't been touched by education outreach, they just don't know what to do. What's the best course of action?
Well, talk to somebody. Talk, you know, for a kid, open up to somebody, whether it be a teacher that you like, a counselor at school, a coach, maybe someone in your church or your synagogue or wherever else you may, whatever your faith may be, adult, a friend. That's the first thing. And also, one of the themes in the book, and this is what I talk about when I've done speaking, is that be prepared that first or second person you might reach out to might not respond the way you want them to. And you've got to, you know, you've got to keep plugging away until you find someone that you can talk and that person does hear you and is going to work with you to help relieve the, some of the pain that you're in. If you, you know, a parent would be great, but if the parent isn't responsive, you know, keep going. Keep going. You'll find someone. There's all kinds of hotlines like the National Suicide Prevention. The number for that is 1-800-273-TALK, T-A-L-K. NAMI has a that's the National Alliance on Mental Health. Their hotline is 1-800-950-NAMI, which is 6264. They have a helpline that if you have questions Monday through Friday, you can ask. It's at your fingertips, either a phone call, online. There are people trained and waiting to talk to you and to listen. For parents, I check the pediatrician, doctor, school guidance counselor. And the thing is, don't give up. In the book, Catherine doesn't connect at all with her first psychiatrist and gets very skeptical that she's going to get help from an adult or a professional in the mental health field. And then that was on purpose. I wanted Catherine to not have success with her first psychiatrist to show, because it's often common that happens. But then she does connect with her second psychiatrist as well as another clinician at the group therapy program. So I wanted the readers to be aware it's not uncommon not to like, you know, who you first start seeing, and it may take a while to connect with somebody, but just to hang in there and keep the faith.
That's a really good point, because if you're going in to talk to somebody, you're very vulnerable, and I could see, never having had an experience before with a counselor, a therapist, a psychiatrist, that you would lump them all together. So if you have a negative experience with one and you're 14 years old, you're going to think, well, all therapists must be this way. So that is a really excellent perspective. And I read that there's normally a lot of times a 10-year delay between the time symptoms appear and somebody gets into treatment. And so I think the education that you're doing and these organizations are doing can really hopefully help shrink that period of time.
I think it will. I think in time it will. I think there's a trend now for more open discussion and dialogue, and I'm really hopeful. I really think that awful 10-year statistic is going to lessen, and I just think that parents are more aware of it, and hopefully physicians are. I had met a pediatrician at one of the talks I was doing, and she told me that she had a patient who had attempted suicide, but thank God it wasn't successful. And when she saw him again, she asked him how he was doing, and he said, "I'm doing fine now." He said, "But you know, and I'm glad people are asking me. But the thing is, no one really asked me ever before how I was doing." And it's such a, you know, basic question. And this pediatrician said that she now no longer asks how is school, what are you thinking about for college. Like, she now focuses on the patient and says, how are you doing? What, you know, how are you feeling? So it really moved me, that story that. And she was a woman who was a doctor who was probably practicing for 20 years, and here she was changing the way she saw her patients. So I just, you know, it just makes me hopeful.
And your book is very hopeful. I mean, that's one thing that is so fantastic is that it offers hope, but it's realistic hope. And it talks about the struggles that people are going to go through, and that's just part of having a mental illness, but that there is hope to have a normal life. Well, so taking away from the book and the topic for a minute, we're winding down, but I want to ask you, I understand that you were an attorney for a number of years, and then you kind of reached a point and you went back to school and you started writing. What ignited that passion in you?
I think it was a couple things. I never really had the urge to write a novel. I was, moved occasionally to write creative pieces, essays, things like that. And then I took time off from practicing law to we have two kids and to raise them. And I wasn't sure I wanted to return to law. I wanted something a little bit, something more creative. I fell in love with American history. Then I went back to school and I got a master's in American studies, which was probably one of the best things I did, just because I think it really honed my writing. It got great practice from all the papers. And then basically it was just a really weird family vacation that we went to, like an extended family vacation. And it was such a bizarre trip. It just, the place was not at all what we expected. And I just remember thinking, this would make a great book. And then that sort of, that set me on my way. And so I'm hoping someday I'll be able to do something with that story. But right now, my heart is really focused on young adult and mental health issues. I have another, hopefully this book is going to come out next year if I can revise it in time. It's called The Arc of a Bullet. And it's about police shooting of a boy who's in a mental health crisis, a psychotic episode. And
interesting.
I'm showing both sides, talking about police and their role and mental health and when the two collide. I'm using a little, some of my, I was a prosecutor for part of my time when I was an attorney. So I'm getting to use some of that. And then also I love the mental health aspect of it too. I'm excited about that.
When I think showing both sides of that, it's such an important topic in current events right now, police shootings and miscommunication and distrust within communities. And so I think that's really another great topic to explore that kind of has, unfortunately, universal themes right now.
Right.
You're really doing good work, Karen. I am so glad that Sarah said, "Hey, I've got this client, and you might be interested in this book." I'm so glad that she did because The Widow Theory, it's won the Connecticut Book Award. It's been honored by the International Literary Association, the New York Public Library, Apple, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's been featured in 17 magazines, so clearly you're doing something right if you're getting all of this, all of these accolades for your book, so congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm really, really happy, and I'm very glad my agent, Sarah Megabow, hooked us up because it's been an absolute pleasure. I love talking to you.
Me too. This has been delightful. Now, if the listeners out there, if they're not listening on the live show, there's a link to purchase her book on Amazon, and there's also a link to Karen's site. But if they're listening on a podcast site that doesn't have a link, where can they go to find your book?
Online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's in stores, Barnes & Noble. Depends on the, on the indie bookstores. They don't care, I don't know if they carry as much stock. But you can pretty much get it online anywhere now, like Target. I think Amazon and Barnes & Noble is, probably your best bet. And the paperback comes out. Yeah, the paperback will come out next year.
Awesome. And so you've got the digital, the paperback, the hardcover. I love that there are so many formats now that we have for books. Yeah. No matter where you are or what you're doing, you can read this. So I think that's – well, Karen Fortunati, the name of the book is The Weight of Zero, and thank you so, so much for taking the time
thank
to talk
you.
To me tonight. This has been delightful.
Oh, thank you so much, Shannon.
And for Our Lives with Shannon Fisher, this is Shannon Fisher. I'll see you next time.